question was asked, how can we understand that within Israel there are two halachic rulings that are different? You can have Ashkenazim ruling that something is kosher and Sfardim ruling that it's not kosher. You could have Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. You could have arguments about things that are biblical. How can that be? Isn't only one of them right? And then isn't there only one truth in Torah? So Rambam addresses this. Ran addresses this. The Rishonim at large discuss this concept. We will take one approach. It branches out into details, but I think generally there is one understanding. The Torah tells us that we're given the Torah, and then we're given a system of how to apply the Torah. That system includes al pi haTorah asher yoruha. Go with the system and the understanding that the courts teach you. Now, what that means is that Hashem built into the Torah multiple understandings. And Hashem said, as we've often discussed, you will use your laws of derivation and your logic distilled, impartial. Not the fad of the time, but your understanding of what the Torah wants. And you will bring it to account in the court, and the court will give its rulings. And so the court, let's say, in Moshe Rabbeinu's time, could rule one way, that something is permissible. And the court, three generations down, can reanalyze it and say, we think that it's more logical to rule differently and take the same sources of the Torah and apply them logically, again, impartially, and reach a different conclusion, which would mean that in Moshe Rabbeinu's time, it was biblically obligated to do one thing, and three generations later, it can be biblically obligated to do something else. It's a rarity, but it happened. I don't know if it happened 10 times in Jewish history, but it did happen. We find that in the Second Temple period, they ruled about the laws of libation, a ruling that disqualified the libations of all of the First Temple period. And they weren't scared to do that, because if I know I'm being honest, and I'm working with the system, and this is my logical conclusion, I have to be true to that conclusion. I'll bring it to the court, we'll come to account, we'll come to a ruling, everyone together will decide. But if they, at large, that's our decision, then that's the halacha today. So that's the concept we've discussed, that when Moshe went up to Sinai, we are taught that he was shown the laws of derivation, and Hashem told him, you can logically prove 49 ways on each question. You can logically deduce that the answer is going to be permissible, and 49 proofs to say it is prohibited. So Moshe said, if using the Torah and all these systems, I can prove both ways, and I can prove more than once in either direction, how am I supposed to know what the truth is? And Hashem said, you go down there, you convene a court, you teach them these laws, you teach them how to apply them logically and impartially, and when they become big talmidei chachamim, and they really, really know their stuff, and they really, really try for the truth, at the end of the day, there's going to be a human component where the whole court will sit and discuss, and you're going to have a majority that says this line of logic is more logical to us than that line of logic. This seems more compelling than that. This seems more similar to this case than that case. After they've developed to the point where they're entitled to an opinion and they're part of the court, you'll go by the majority opinion, and that's what I want. That's the halacha that I want, Hashem says. Now you'll ask, in heaven is there a truth? So the Talmud says that in heaven, the Talmud says two things. Number one, in heaven it quotes what goes on down below. We have different areas in Talmud where it quotes that. And number two, it says there is a version of heaven, but the version of heaven doesn't obligate us down below. Hashem says, Lo bashamayimi. You ask me, I have my teaching of Torah. Hashem says, but I've built into the Torah, and your application of Torah is based on this system. As Rambam writes, if two false witnesses come in and deceive the courts, and the courts act based on what they said, we do it. And we did what the Torah says. You'll tell me it could be. Could be, yeah, a lot of things could be. Can it be that they tricked the court? It could be. Can it be that the court made a mistake? It could be. But did the court do what was right? Yes, the court did what was right. Because we're given a system, we have to work with that system as best as we can. Does that mean, so now, we believe that Hashem helps us get it right, that we're not going to make mistakes. But at the end of the day, we're working with the system. And Hashem wants us to work with that system. And even though that system might lead me to a point where a later generation will contradict an earlier generation. And you have Mishnayot, you have numerous Mishnayot in Sota, where Rabbi Yochanan said, I am concerned that future generations will overrule what we've ruled here because I can't find the source for it in Torah. It's only based on my tradition. And those who are not my students, those who won't get my tradition, and who knows how many will get my tradition with this Roman persecution going on, so then they'll say, I can't find the source of this in Torah. They might not go with it. And then the Mishnah says, two generations down, his students' students were able to prove it from Torah. They were able to bring a proof that he hadn't thought of. So then Rabbi Akiva said, look at that. This halacha is never going to be lost because now we found a proof from Torah. Okay, that's so in Rabbi Yochanan's generation it was tradition, but that doesn't mean there wasn't a source in Torah. They couldn't prove it from the Torah. They couldn't figure out a proof. Later generations were able to figure out a proof from Torah. It doesn't say that exactly. It says in certain areas one court cannot overrule another court. It doesn't say in every area.
But this whole issue with putting the same book face on from Kitnil, the argument is we're not on that level to undo.
That's a different question. I'm saying, but it's not in everything. You see that in King Solomon's times, the court overruled what Moshe Rabbeinu said. The Talmud tells us that right after King Solomon, in the days of Yeravam ben Nevat, in how to run the calendar, the courts overruled Moshe Rabbeinu, and they didn't say this is heresy. You can't overrule Moshe Rabbeinu. They didn't. He proved it from the Torah. The chief rabbi of the time was able to prove it from the Torah, and he was able to convince the whole court to agree with him. And so they ruled that way. Now, it happens to be that the chief rabbi was Yeravam ben Nevat, a charlatan, an evil person. It happens to be that he was a liar. But it happens to be that before he became such a wicked person, he was one of the biggest tzaddikim and talmidei chachamim that ever lived. It was only later that the rabbi said, he's a liar, he tricked us. But he was able to do it. And the mind-boggling thing is that the rabbis didn't say, you can't argue on Moshe, get out of here. No. He could. That's what I'm saying. The idea that you cannot argue on a previous court has its limitations. Now, it's true that today, we don't know the laws of derivation. We try to figure out, what's Ilan Ramon going to do on the moon? When's he going to keep Shabbos? We can't open a Torah and say, laws of derivation, I'll figure out how you keep Shabbos on the moon. We don't know how to use those tools well. So we're not there anymore. It's been 2,000 years that we haven't been there. But when they were there, so then they weren't limited. There were areas where they could argue on previous courts. You're right, in certain areas, not in certain areas, yes. But this goes back to the concept that when Hashem gave the Torah, he told us, the Torah is going to be an applied science, and in many ways it's going to be dependent on how the courts teach you. It's going to be dependent on the oral law. The Torah says an eye for an eye, and the oral tradition says not. Okay, so we don't have Torah without the oral tradition, and oral tradition has the capacity to develop. It's not limited to what it was in Moshe's time. Now, you'll say, so what's the truth? Wait, are Ashkenazim right or Sfardim right? But now we understand that within the truth of Torah, there exists the capacity for multiple opinions. Now we don't have a court that's going to give us a bottom line. If we were living in the days of a high court, so then the high court can give a ruling. And then all Ashkenazim, Sfardim, everyone's going to either eat glot or not eat glot or view glot as stringency. But the court will give a ruling. You reach a generation where you don't have that capacity. So then you're bound to your rabbi, or what ends up being your tradition. Your location has accepted upon themselves the ruling of a certain rabbinic tradition. So if you're an Ashkenazi, your rabbinic tradition goes with the Tosafos, with Rashi, with the Rosh, with that tradition. If you're a Sfardi, so then your locale goes with the tradition of Maimonides and the Rif, who didn't invent anything. Maimonides and the Rif recorded the rulings that were in line with their tradition. So if I live in this locale, my people, Sfardim, or Ashkenazim, or Teimanim, accepted to go with the halachic ruling of this rabbi, and so I am bound by it, so to speak, like a vow. Just like when you take a vow, you're saying, I'm obligating myself to something. So there's a concept that's like a vow that a people can accept upon themselves the responsibility to go with the halachic ruling of a certain authority. So locales accepted upon themselves a certain tradition. That's what obligates us to go with that tradition. And that's where we are today. We don't have a high court to rule. Now when the high court will be reinstated, Bezrat Hashem, it's going to happen soon, so then we might have everyone shifting. They might say, we'll leave things as is, but they might say, hey, there is a bottom line, just like there used to be.